With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, Genesis chapter 43. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said to Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother and your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up, and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we came indeed at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet. And he gave their asses provender. And they made ready for the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, Is your father the old man of whom ye spake? Is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant, our father, is in good health. he is yet alive. And they bowed their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, Set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have said before, we say again now, that Joseph is on a course with his brethren. It is what we would call a sort of supernatural, a prophetic course. He's doing things that are extraordinary, that are given to him, if you will, by this spirit of prophecy with which he is pursuing his brethren and their repentance. We can see at the beginning of this chapter that it's already working. It's having its effect. Let me show you what I mean when I say that, because we have not yet seen a full repentance yet. Yet there are two things I think that are evident in this passage. The first is the guilt of their consciences. The Lord is working on them in that guilt. This is very important. We've already seen it in the prior chapter when Joseph treats with them roughly. They say, we're very, very guilty concerning our brother. 20 years ago that happened. And they've carried that about 20 years. Not, oh, this guy, who is he? Well, how? Where does he come off speaking to us like this? No, the first thing they say is, ooh, we're very guilty concerning our brother. They carried that guilt 20 years with them or so. And when it comes up pertaining to their younger brother, they say, well, this has to do with that, obviously. So that's the first thing, is that the Lord is softening their conscience. But the second thing is the Lord is hardening his law. This is a really important message, beloved, that we all must hear. The law of God is fixed and it is immovable. And until we get that through our thick and fallen and carnal skulls, we will not repent. The repentance that we see in the brethren here, that it goes hand in hand with the hardness of the law. Let's do a little history together in this passage. When Simeon and Levi rose up with rapacious vehemence and violence against the Shechemites, their father chastised them, and they didn't think anything of it. Doesn't matter what he says. We did what was right. Should he treat our sister like that? Should he treat your daughter like that? They rose up and they confronted their father as he tried to correct them. When Joseph came, they said, here comes that dreamer, right? And they threw him in the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And instead of them honoring their father and respecting him in the fifth commandment, what did they do? They came home, they brought the coat dipped in goat's blood and they handed it to him. Is this your son's coat or not? And Jacob said, Now will my gray hairs go down to the grave in sorrow. My son Joseph is not, the heir of the covenant is not. And they went on allowing him to believe that his brother, their brother was dead, his son. And they, in cold-heartedness, had no respect for the authority of their father. The law for them was movable. It was changeable. But now, notice what happens. Jacob says, go buy us some grain. And Judah stands up. It's like bolts up out of his seat. And he says, we can't. This guy in Egypt, he's immovable. We can't go back without Benjamin. Don't even send us. There's no excuse. There's no mitigation. There's no anything except a wall there in Egypt. What has he learned? That there is something fixed and immovable, like God's commands. This fifth commandment guy here in Egypt, he won't see us without Benjamin. Don't waste our time. No more is a command of an authority to Judah something that is movable or changeable or something to be confronted and resisted. No, now it is something to be obeyed. He's met his match. You see that? You see the progress? It's a progress, isn't it? It's incremental. It's little by little, as we heard last week, line upon line and precept upon precept. Jacob, who has been exposed to the true religion all of his life, Jacob, who has heard the word of his father all of his life, is just now coming. I'm sorry, Judah is just now coming to the realization that this law is immovable. I can't go against it. And so he tells his father, we will not go back without Benjamin. That's just the way it is, Dad. Even you're going to have to get on board with that. And so notice also progress in Jacob. All these things are against me. That's what we heard in the last chapter. Now what do we hear? There is an inexorable problem coming. We're not going to have anything to eat. It doesn't really matter all my affections, all my love for this son of mine, even all of my hope for the covenant if we're dead. Notice how the afflictions that Jacob has borne have pressed him along in his faith as well. And so what does he say at the end? If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Finally, he uses the word I in its proper context. Beloved, hear the words of the advancement of Jacob's faith here in chapter 43. Now we come to the balance of the chapter when they arrive back in Egypt. Notice that guilt is still there with them. Right? Even though they're not guilty with regard to the money, it was put back in their sacks. Still, when they hear Joseph say, come to my house, you're going to dine with me. Oh no. He's bringing us to his house so privately he can take us for bondmen and all of our stuff. Right? They're guilty. They are under conviction. So that even things that they were not guilty of that would appear that they had done wrong plagued them. They are concerned not only about evil, but of the appearance of evil. You hear that? And so here we go now. They end up in Joseph's house. The people or the men marvel at the kind treatment they are receiving. We see also their interaction with the steward of the house. Notice they want to clear that up as quickly as possible. Instead of going on in even a perceived sin, they want to clear that up as soon as possible. No. We gave you our money, but when we got to the inn, somebody had put it back there. We don't know who. So we brought that back and more money for new grain. Please don't convict us anymore. You see the progress in faith that these men are making. Beloved, these are good signs. Are they your signs? Are they my signs? That we want to remain clear of accusation and sin? They are indeed moving ahead. The course that God is pursuing in all of the providential events of their lives, especially through the prophetic influence of Joseph, is having its due effect. We ought to remember that, beloved, that when God pursues a course with his people, it will not be turned aside. We might well say to Jacob and to Judah and to the brethren here, He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ. Isn't that encouraging? Don't we see progress like this as encouraging for our own hearts? One more thing by way of typology, and then we'll close our reading of the passage. So Simeon and Levi have forfeited their birthright through their violent behavior. Reuben has forfeited his birthright through his going up to his father's bed. The fourthborn, Judah, now stands as an obvious leader of the sons. He stands up and talks to his father about what is going to happen. We cannot go back unless Benjamin is with us. Now hear the typology. Because a greater descendant of Judah will stand one day to be the surety for the beloved of the Father. Right? Judah stands this day and says, I will be surety for Benjamin. What is Benjamin to Jacob and to the rest of the sons? He is the seed through whom the covenant comes. Judah says, I'll be surety for him. And there is another that will stand, a descendant of Judah, that will stand as a surety for the beloved of the Father. Is that not right? And that's why Judah has the preeminence here. With that then, let's continue praising God in the singing of Psalms.